For this morning, and I want to ask just there where you're at, if you can maybe just for a moment just close your eyes. Yes, Lord. Encourage you just to set your heart towards Him. Just in preparing for this morning, just the song came up the whole time. So I'm just going to sing it for us, and if you know it, just you can sing along. But the aim is to be with Him. To see Him, to know Him, for Him to know me, us. Yes, Lord. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Yes, there is none like You. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. It's Jesus, there is none like You. It's there is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. And I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Yes, I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. There's none like You, Jesus. as I'm standing here today, like my heart is so full of what I've seen God do over the last 2 months. Like, just seen Him move in people's hearts and in people's lives and change lives, and just hearing the apostolic speak and speaking into us and seeing what that accomplishes and did in us as a church, but also as a apostolic movement. And it's like there's so much, and it's been from the Netherlands, coming back home, being hosting people. It's like there's been so much just of what the Lord has been doing. And in my heart, I'm going like, oh, Lord, there's so much to feast on. I feel like I've got a whale in front of me that I've got to start to digest and break off part by part and find it to nourish me. And it's overwhelming. But the one thing that I find in seeing just the beauty and all the things that God is doing is I find in myself, and I'm sure that it's the same for us sitting here, that it's great what God is doing, but I'm very aware that there's flesh inside of me that is in some sense resisting and fighting against what God is doing. Resisting to always accept it. Resisting to just give myself to it. Resisting to, in a sense, bring myself into the light so that the light can shine and the darkness can flee. But what would that look like, Lord? And so there's this beauty of what God is doing, but then on the other side, the very stark difference and contrast of my flesh that is at fighting against the things of God in my life. And the thing is this, from my perspective of my flesh, it's the kingdom and then the ways of God will always look impossible if I'm looking from the flesh and from my side of the view. God's ways always looks impossible. It looks too much. And so I find these things that come through, that pop up. First, I find false humility. See the things that God is doing, hear of what God is doing, and find myself in the room, and then I go like, God, why am I here? Like, man, if these people knew who I was, and if they truly knew me, or they truly understood who I am as a person, they would not give me the moment of a day, or allow me to say anything, or allow me to do anything. God, I don't have what it takes. I don't look how what looks good. I don't. I find this place of false humility, of just going like, ah, I suck. I'm virum bully. Like, and then on the other side, while I'm in that place, I find pride coming and rising up. And going like, hey, man, why does these people not know how amazing I am? Why don't they know what I have or what my strengths are? If only they would give me a moment, I can change the whole game. Man, if they would just give me a space. God, I can turn this around. God, I can show really who you are to all the world. It's crazy. Like, we see God change lives. We see God save people. We see God protect people, provide for people. And we find ourselves in the midst of what He's doing, in these places of, ah, oh, I'm not enough to, ah, oh, I am too much. I can do it so much better than what they can do it. I think sometimes we even think we can do it better than what Jesus did it. this morning, as we come into this morning, there's a scripture that I want to read for us. I love asking us to close our eyes because it focuses our ears, you know. So I'm sorry if I ask you to close your eyes a few times, okay? But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, okay, just for this moment. We're not trying to steal your belongings, okay? I promise. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says this. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Just sit for a moment and think about that. It's so easy for us to come to church and to 412 and all the beautiful things that God is doing and depend on our own understanding and our own strength and our own thoughts and our own knowledge. It's so easy to depend on these things to interpret what God is doing and what God wants to do and then judge it and make a judgment accordingly. His thoughts is higher. His ways are higher. See, our thoughts and feelings and strength and abilities and understanding and intellect, it's like a packet that says, just add water. And in our case, it's like actually, just add flesh and you're good to go. It takes no effort. It's just instantaneously ready. It's there. We don't have to exercise it. We don't have to practice it. You don't actually have to go study. You don't have to do anything. It's just add the flesh. And man, this cup of water is ready to drink. But actually, to acknowledge that it's not my thoughts, God, it's your thoughts, your ways. It doesn't just come like 1, 2, 3 and it's there. No, it's a consistent, every day, breaking down the things that is at war in me, so that I can take hold of the kingdom that God has prepared for me to be in. To trust in God takes us not to depend on our own understanding, but understanding that God, we don't know. God, we don't understand. God, we don't have what it takes. Help me. Help me. God, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Help me. All I have is you. In John 7, it says this. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. I want to just stop there quickly. This festival that it speaks of here, it's the festival of booths or the feast of tabernacles. And it's where the people would come and they would not stay in houses and lodges and in the city, but they would actually come and they would pitch kind of like tents or shelters outside as a sign of being thankful and celebrating the fact that God has brought them through the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, there was no cities, there was no towns, there was their tents and things that I had, you know. And so they would take a week, or probably a little bit more than a week, and they would have this feast of the tabernacles. And all around praising God and thanking God for that He's brought them through, and thanking God for the harvest and celebrating God. And all around this in John 7, we see Jesus preaching and speaking about who He is and where He's going. And you consistently see the Pharisees wanting to arrest Him, but they don't yet because it's not His time yet. And so even they wanted to arrest Him, they couldn't, because God's ways is higher. And so for somehow, they didn't find a way to arrest Him, because He made the call that it's not my time yet. Crazy. It's like you read it and you go like, why didn't they just stand up and arrest Him? It's not that difficult. But yet they would kind of like hear Him preach, and every time He preaches or says something, they get offended and they go, oh, this man. Even the people were going like, isn't this man the one that they want to kill and the one that they wanted to arrest? Because this guy is making havoc. But it's crazy to see that God's ways is higher. Anyway, so Jesus is at this tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles, and kind of like the climax, like it says in this day. And then He doesn't sit down and kind of says to all who wants to hear. No, it says He stood and He shouted. This is what He shouted. Anyone who is thirsty, come to Me. Anyone who believes in Me may come and drink. From the Scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from His heart. So Jesus is shouting to the people, hey, if you're thirsty, come to Me. And they just go like, what is this guy on about? See, when Jesus was shouting that, come to Me and drink, it means, if you believe in Me, if you're willing to give Me everything, if you're willing to enter into a trusting relationship that I am who I say I am, you will find eternal life. And I believe even here this morning, Jesus is standing and He's shouting to us. If anyone is thirsty, come to Me. If anyone is hungry, come to Me. And it's so easy for us to just be here and hear it, thinking that we have had our fill. And that we're okay. Like, hey, Jesus, I've had enough. I've had to drink of You. And miss what He's doing. Just because we think we know. And I believe this morning, for us, that God is not asking us to depend on what you know, or depend on what you experienced yesterday, on what you read yesterday, on what you did yesterday, or the day before, or the week ago, or a year ago. No, He's standing in front of us today, and He's saying, come, those who are thirsty. And this morning, I believe it's so, so important for us to not miss that moment. Because if we depend on what we know, on what we've seen yesterday, we'll miss Him today. Because just like at the Feast of Tabernacles, They were celebrating what God has done previously. Yet in that moment, they failed to recognize not just that He has saved, but that the Savior is standing in front of them. So maybe just for a moment, if your eyes have been closed, I trust that you're still awake. If your eyes are open, I want to ask you, can you close them again? But can we take a moment and acknowledge that His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher, and that Jesus, I've drunk from You yesterday, but the only thing that has done, it's caused me to be more thirsty for You today. As your eyes are closed, I want to read you this. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does no good? Listen to me. This is God speaking, eh? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. In verse 6, it says this, seek the Lord while you can find Him. Today, this moment, we can find Him. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God. For He will forgive generously. If you are thirsty, come to Him. So I wanted to set, you can, if you're still awake, look at me. I really want to set for us the setting for this morning. There's this song from a band called House Fires. And the song, its name is Unto Your Name. And in our house, our home, we constantly have music playing in multiple songs in multiple different rooms. Sometimes it gets very overwhelming. And then someone else singing also somewhere in the background and crying. But this song, Unto Your Name, is a song, it's on a playlist that we love playing. And so our girls often hear the song, and we sing it in church as well. And so they would often kind of like, when we have just time at home, they would play different things, teacher, teacher, mommy, baby. We just got girls. That's what it's like. And then they would play church as well. And this one would preach and that one would do this. And some would preach and be sitting at the same time. I mean, it's crazy. But the song, Unto Your Name, it goes like this. Unto your name, glory and honor. Unto your name, wisdom and power. Unto your name, all the saints sing praise. Great song. And so Lark and Pips and Junie, they would often walk around kind of like just, if they on their own, just sing songs that we sing and they hear us sing and it's playing in the house. And so the one day, Lark is sitting and she is singing a song. Okay, and she's singing this song. And man, the words that came out of her mouth, no one could have imagined. And she was going, unto your name, fall in the lava, unto your name. Yes, because it sounds like glory and honor, fall in the lava. It's like, same, yeah, but different. The thing is, we're not any different. We can hear glory and honor, or it can be said, but what we hear is fall in the lava. We can so easily come into church and our perspective of ourselves and our thoughts on who we are and what God has done, we can read God through a lens of our own understanding, so that even when the truth is being preached or the word of God comes, that we're not hearing it. And that we walk away going like, fall in the lava. What is wrong with God? Why does he want me to die? Why do I need to fall in the lava? And then church becomes this thing of, I'm coming every week. I'm coming to come. I'm being part of the family, giving my everything that I have to give. But man, it takes a lot for me, because actually, I don't feel I've got a place. Never good enough. Or they're never seeing how good I am. And we bounce between these two things. Because what we are doing is we're listening and we are doing, depending and drawing from our own strength and our own understanding and our own view of things, but not actually drinking from Jesus and who he is and what he has to bring. Because we've done it now. We've sipped from the water. I think it's 5 people can sit in a room and one can speak. 4 people will walk out there having heard the same thing, but having listened differently. You agree with me? So let's look at this. Luke 8, verse 16. No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand, where its light can be seen by all who enters the house. For all that is in secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. And this is Jesus' words, just if you didn't know. So pay attention to how you hear. Pay attention to how you hear. to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Pay attention to how you hear. See, this lamp and the light, that's the gospel. It's the gospel that shines into all the world. It's the message that Jesus has come to save, that He has come to seek out and save those whom are lost. But not just to save them. Because it saved them from what? It saved them from this world. And to make Him us His own for what comes next. And this lamp is that. This light that needs to shine into all the world. And so when we even read the scripture sometimes, we go like, man, everything in my life will be shown. But actually what it's speaking about here is that everything that is hidden, it's not just necessarily about you and your life. No, no. It's about the fact that this world will pass away. Because right now, for many of us sitting here, we think that this world is everything that there is. And so we're trying to live in this place of our understanding and our effort and our strength. Because we think it's about this day, today, on this earth, in this place. But actually, it's a lie. Now, the light has come to say us that it's not about this place. It's about the presence of God. It's about the kingdom and life evermore. And it one day, it will be shown. And so today, I need to say, God, would you help me to shine the light in my heart, so that as you shine the light in my heart, that it lights the whole room everywhere I go. It's both about the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel. See, we come to church sometimes going like, I am hoping that Rian has done his work this week. He just works one day a week. And so he has done the work and made sure that he prepared a preach that's going to give me food and strength for the rest of the week. And then I come to church and man, he changes the chairs. And now I don't get to sit where I love to sit. And he asked me to close my eyes, and he asked me to lift up my hands, and he asked me. And man, that preach he preached, I could have done that so much better. I'm sure you can, believe me. And so we come to church hoping that what we will hear will soothe us and will give us strength to do another week. So my question to you is, what do you think you should come to church for? I believe preaching the word is absolutely important. It will be the thing that God, Jesus was kind of like one of the first preachers. Well, not, he's been preaching. Like, let me say it like this. God's only son who came to earth preaching. And I believe preaching is important. And it's not just meant for whoever is an elder or whoever leads a church or a pastor. No, it's meant for all people. Because our preaching should only be the light that has already been shone in our own hearts towards the world out there. Now see, when we come to church, we come here for one thing, and it's to know Him. It's to know Him and then know how to make Him and His glory known to all the earth. So let me ask you this. When you came to church this morning, how did you come? Did you pray for me coming to church this morning? Did you pray, God, Rian or Brett or Martin or Shaul or Leon, whoever's going to preach, God, I pray that they would hear Your voice. Because I want to hear Your voice. Or did we pray and go, potentially not even pray, but just thought? That's many times how we pray. I'm putting it in exclamation marks for those that can't see. How we pray. It's like in the car on the way, I'm thinking, oh, this would be nice. I prayed this morning and I felt God speak to me. I do that sometimes. Do you do that? Clearly not. You guys should be preaching. See, the good news at the end of the day is lost unless it's lost if it doesn't reach those who are lost. It's not good news. Let me say it like that. It's not good news anymore if it doesn't reach the lost. It's no news. And the only way I can have good news is by coming to know Him, by drinking from Him, by living in obedience to Him. Because within me, I don't have good news. No, it's His good news. It's His lamp. It's His light that shines through me. And so when I come to church, I'm coming with the heart of God. I want to hear Your voice. Through what someone is saying, through what someone is contributing, through what someone is singing. God, I don't want to be sidetracked by the song or the music and how it makes me feel, or the preacher and how he looks or how he speaks. No, God, I want to hear Your voice. When we were in the Netherlands, the church is very young. And they are in a place where religion is, I want to say, stronger and a more fierce competitor than any form of otherworldly religions. Or Satanism, or whatever you want to call it. If you want a demon, go find that demon of religion. It's bad. Really. It's in us as well. We've got different things, different demons that we need to fight. Okay? But there, it's really bad. And so this church is so young and so filled with the Spirit. And it's like the whitest of white versus the blackest of black. That's the difference. And so you come into the church in the Netherlands, and man, they are frothing for the Word of God. They are frothing for God to come and speak. It's like I had the opportunity to preach there a few times. And it's like they felt like they sitting in front of me with like drooling mouths, wanting more, more, more. To a point of where I really felt like, man, I've got to be very careful here about what I say. Because if I'm not giving them what truly is God's voice, they're going to run in the wrong direction. But then we come here to us, and we've been having it for many years. And we've got church like this, and it's so normal for us to kind of this church, that church. And we've got it in abundance. And we're almost like going like, ah, oh, heard this preach before. You know what? On YouTube, I can find a 2-minute clip that says everything that you have said 10 times better, and I'm waxed. And we just consume and consume and consume and consume, but never actually being careful to how we are hearing. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed by your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Church, how are we listening? How are we giving ourselves to the word that has been preached? Four twelve was last week. Here we are today again, hearing the word of God. Have we processed everything that God has said? Who here has had a rough week? So what do you think happens to all the word that has been brought? You know what I think what we're doing? And we're doing it to ourselves, is we're causing ourselves to be so almost like numb to the word that is being brought. Because we're not taking care as to how we're hearing and listening. So where's the hope here today, Rian? Where's the good news? Here it is. Isaiah 55 verse 3. And I'm ending off here. More or less. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the people. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know. And peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, made you glorious. So come and listen, and then He will do. It's like, come and listen, come and drink, and the lamp will not be hidden, but the lamp will shine. It will light the room. But it needs me and you to come and listen, to come and drink. So now, how then should we listen? How should we listen? So here's what it is. Firstly, we need to start in prayer. We start to listen by starting in prayer. You guys are great listeners. Can see all the notes being taken. what do we pray? We're praying for the word. If we believe that the word of God is truly life, then when we hear it, or when we go hear it, or want to hear it, we want to know that the word will actually have life in us. Amen? Do you guys agree with me? We can say yes or no. This is not a quiet church. Okay. So why not pray for it? Who can remember the scripture that Enrico said this morning? James 4. You do not have because you do not ask. See, when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he wasn't teaching us to pray so that we can be okay for today and have a roof over our head and have a food on our tables. No, he wasn't necessarily interested in the need that we have in this moment right now in front of us. Because what is more important is that those who are lost come to know that they've got a Father in heaven that loves and cares for each one, and that he has a place for you and for me with him. And that is eternal life. I can go hungry today without bread. But I can't go hungry in eternity if I have no salvation. That didn't make sense. Sorry. You got get what I was saying here. I can go hungry today without bread. But what I can't do is survive, let me say it like that, survive eternity without salvation. So if I've got to choose between bread and salvation, I want to choose salvation, God. And so if we believe that the word that God has given us through all the ages, that he's preserved it, and just amazingly the way that it came to us and came to be what we have here today, if we believe that this truly is the word of God, why will we not pray that God come and show us his word, that God would come and make his word come alive? Amen? So we start with prayer, and we pray first thing is, God, come and accomplish your word. Come and let your word be alive. I want to say to you, I'm not interested in talking. I don't need you to hear my voice. I'm not standing here because I've got a complex that I want to be taller than what I am. And so I'm going to preach to you. No. My one desire here this morning, and it's the only thing that I'm going to sit tomorrow and go, did I do this? Is did I give you the word of God? Did I give you the lamp that is shining in my heart? And did you find the light and find the nourishment of the food that God is giving, the manna that God is pouring out on us here today? Did you find it? And did you eat it? And did you see that he truly is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who saves, the one who is, the one who will always be? Is that what you found? Because outside of that, nothing else matters. Not the person, not their voice, not their... No, it's him. And so I want to encourage you. I'm not asking you to listen to me. I'm asking you to prepare your heart. Start in prayer. Pray, say, Lord, would you come and open up your word that I might see you, that I might know you, and that your glory will be made known through me. We pray that God would come and prepare our heart. We see in the parable of the sower, we see Jesus speaking about the seed that falls on different ground. Hard soil, the soil full of wheat, the pathway, the fruitful soil. It's like, God, help me. God, would you come and prepare my heart for your word? That as it comes, that it would fall on fruitful soil. Praying for those who are preaching to us. I know you think it must be easy to stand here. And it must be nice to walk away from a Sunday going like, hey, I've preached to 200, 300 people, or stand in front of a conference and pray to, or speak, preach to thousands of people. You might think that that is a nice thing. I want to say to you, there's very little nice about it. Because as much as I'm seeing God doing something, tomorrow morning, it's like, oh, Lord, could have said that better, could have done that differently. Oh, I should have said that. Ah, oh, ah, oh, Lord, I trusted this preach never gets onto the internet. And I'm falling between the false humility and pride. Pray for those who are preaching to you. Scripture encourages us. Make the life of your leaders a joy, that it may go well with you. And so when we hear these things, what we should be praying beforehand is, God, I pray that you would prepare their hearts. God, I pray that your word would be active in them. I pray that they would see, God, what you are saying. And then that James 4, we ask God to accomplish his word. Because that's what we want. Amen? We want God to come and accomplish his word in us. And we want to know him. We're not just sitting here because it's the thing to do. No, we want to know him. And yeah, you thought coming on a Sunday, it's Rian that needs to work, or Brett needs to work. No, actually, all of us do our bit. And as each of us pray for the word, as we come in expectation for what God is going to say, it doesn't matter who's standing in front of us. What matters is we're hearing for his word. We're hearing for his voice. Pay attention. Be careful as to how you hear. I'm going to end there. If we can close our eyes. I think it's important for us to understand this morning that unless we have the Spirit of God that is working in us, his living waters, whatever we hear and whatever will be said will have very little effect in our lives. If you are here this morning and you know you're part of the crowds that were standing and hearing Jesus speak, and you heard him say, well, not just say, but stand up and shout and say, come to me, those who are thirsty. Come to me, believe in me, and I will give you eternal life. If that's you this morning, when you know that you haven't given yourself to him, you haven't come and drunk from his cup, I want to say to you this morning, the invitation is there for you. This is not something that is done by the words of men or hands of men or the strength or music or anything. No, this is the Spirit of God that is working, and the Spirit of God takes your life and changes it and makes you that was once dead now come alive to his kingdom, his purposes, and he gives you eternal life. If you